Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Domestic Boyfriends Podcast. My name is Dean, and always with me is my co-host, Vincent.
Hello.
If you are new joining us, this is a podcast where we talk about video games, comic books, hobbies, interests, and anything in between, because we like to talk. We are going to be continuing our new series where we're going to be going through the beginning of season one. We'll start with season one and then maybe take a break depending on what comes out and what we want to talk about. But season one of the Cartoon Network show, the Moonscape original Code Lyoko. The first episode, we talked about the first three episodes. We're going to be doing three episodes every batch. We're changing this to a weekly formula just to get the first season out of the way. Because once we get to like the middle of the first season, I think like that's when we start getting into some larger things to do with the story. You know, as we go along, it's really interesting to see how this show handles a nearly two-decade difference compared to how some shows in the modern times are. So, I guess to start us off, the first episode we're going to be going over is the fourth episode of season one, titled Logbook. Now, Vincent, what do you think, based off of this title, we're going to be talking about today?
Well, tell you what it's not. It's not about wood.
Yeah. No, it's definitely not that type of log. Not that type of logbook.
Doesn't really have to do with books either.
Well, it's a personal book, technically, but this episode starts.
Well, I guess it does literally have to do with, but never mind.
Yeah, I mean, it is a book, but it's like, I mean, what do you consider? Do you just consider like a bundle of blank pages a book, or do you just like? Is it when there is content in the book, or like in the pages?
I consider like any like just bundle of pages kind of a book, because like, you know, that's what like a sketchbook is. Or a note, or like a notebook, you know, when you buy them.
Yeah, but when does a notepad turn into a notebook? When there's content? You know what I mean? Or is it the way that they're binded together? So like if books were read,
philosophical definitions of what is and what isn't a book.
Yeah, I mean, well,
you know. I was here for a kids' TV show.
That's very true. Very true. Anyway. To get it started, Logbook starts us off with Oryk and Odd. Shows us that Oryk's trying to look for something that he's missing. It shows us that they share a dorm. I think this is something that we should have known within the last couple episodes. But it's just something to make note of here first. I don't know. I don't remember. We'll see in the future episodes if they became friends. It's kind of coming back to me that they became friends before, or was it after they would book, like,
were roommates?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's when they became roommates, because I think there was a flashback episode within the last three that we watched, but it also could just be my memory of the show that like, because Odd, like, I guess, like, a brief spoiler, like, Odd's hair was never, like, Super Saiyan Vegeta spiky. Like, he did have, like, a downed hair design that I remember seeing in an episode.
Mm-hmm.
But, anyway, we move on. The scene transitions. Odd wants to go get breakfast.
And this makes me mad. This already, like, gets into my first note on here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Odd needs to take better care of himself. What kind of breakfast is 8 slices of toast and 3 bananas? Where's lots your of protein?
Lots of potassium and lots of fiber. Odd definitely takes his shits.
He's pooping a lot.
Yeah, he is taking all of the shits. Nothing to actually bind his food together. But Jeremy's probably... I didn't look what he was eating. It was either cereal or oatmeal or whatever.
He was eating a piece of toast. They're just toast boys.
Fibrous boys they are. They keep an extra bathroom in the factory. But he ditches Ulrich, goes to get some breakfast. Ulrich goes and is trying to find whatever he's missing. And the odds just like, what are you going to go do, Jeremy? And he's just like, of course I'm going to work on Aelita's materialization program. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to skip gym. Because, you know, he's
thing in the world.
He's simping over his e-girl. Yumi meets up with them, and in the altercation, they see Ulrich with Sissy, you know, their favorite person. And
they take great offense to Ulrich potentially having other friends.
They all look at him and gasp.
Where's Ulrich? He's like, oh, he's over there with Sissy. And Odd's like, but it's Sissy. Which, like, you know, sure, fair enough, but, like, come on.
First three episodes, I definitely have to say I'd have a very similar reaction. But it looks a little odd because they're like really together. So everybody goes on detective mode. And I put down in my notes, Herb is the nerd, apparently, because we got Nicholas and obviously yeah. Sissy. But it took four episodes for us to actually get the nerdy guy's name, and it's Herb. But it transitions to them all being shocked, getting a little questionable about what's happening, transitioning this conversation into their history class where Odd gets called out for not paying attention. You know, that's Odd.
What an idiot.
And they go after class and try and interrogate Ulrich while Odd goes around and fucking... He's like, hey, Sissy, did you have a nose job? And like in the background, they're having a conversation. Like, no. Go
ahead. Oh, I was just gonna say, she's like, no. He's like, no, you totally did it. He like grabs her arm and like pulls her away from her.
Yeah, he's like, we need to talk.
Convince her that she had a nose job.
He's just like, we need to talk, Sissy. Meanwhile, Jeremy's getting the DL of what happened. And pretty much, Sissy had stole Ulrich's diary. Which doesn't just have embarrassing confessions of Yumi, probably, but also has details about Lyoko that I'm guessing aren't coherent enough. It's either that or Sissy really is stupid, because if this diary goes back to, like, the first time they ever went to Lyoko, I mean, if it was me and I got VR'd in real life, I would probably write down every single detail. Just to make sure that I wasn't insane. Yep. So
I believe he does specify that he talks about the factory in particular.
Yeah.
And the way that he like talked about it re-exemplifies a fact in my mind, which I still am boggled by, which is I don't understand where this town is or how all, big it is supposed to
all
be.
All rural like, area, one factory.
It's an all and rural nuclear area plant with a nuclear power plant and apparently one factory.
That there has to be like
call it the factory, and that's apparently enough for Sissy to know what that would be.
It also has to have some type of like man-made lake, because the factory is on an island. Yeah. So there is that detail. So
who's paying the power bill?
You know, I've always wondered this. I'm glad we're talking about this now early on, because if we talked about it later, I would be even more confused.
Like, I think it's something that, like, a certain, like, grasshopper later on in the series, like, maybe he made some kind of, like, personal generator that, like, can just, you know, somehow channel enough power to power that entire thing. But also, if he did that, why did he not just cause world peace?
So, I think it's explained that, because Xana, it's obviously not Xana. Xana very specifically doesn't want them to do anything. I think it might be explained later on from other parties are keeping it up. But yeah, that always kind of baffled me in the beginning that like, how are they working? How was like, any of this doing?
We'll get into it in like a later episode. It's probably like 15, 20 episodes from here, but
probably like two seasons.
Four people to like kind of understand, you know, like, because this isn't really spoilers. Like, this Xana's a computer program, right? The mm-hmm. digital world lives in a computer. Obviously, there are servers that the digital world lives on.
Yeah.
This does just have an off switch, which we do see.
Yes, because they do bring it up. They brought it up in the last episode, episode 3, when they're like, we need to tell the police and everything like that. And one of Jeremy's concerns is the fact that they'll just turn the power off to the factory, and it'll just shut down the supercomputer that Aelita's in. Because the supercomputer is connected to a server, but apparently, like, it's also a part of the server or something like that.
It's never, I don't think it's ever, like, really, really specified, but also, like, you know, if I was an adult in that situation, like, sure, I am finding out that, like, part of, like, my world is getting rocked. I'm finding out that
especially in 2006
existent wants to kill us like the Terminator, and then also is pink-haired.
Yeah.
But, like, as an adult in that situation, you are being told that a digital program is somehow having an effect on the real world, and that it is going to, it is potentially almost caused, like, the entire city that they live in to explode, and it can also control time. I turn that shit off. I flat in that fucking place. That is bad, bad juju right there. Like, that is terrifying.
I'd love for the first interaction to just be, or, like, the first explanation to just be the first episode's incident, where it's just like, oh, what did it do? And it's just like, it possessed a bear and it got really, really big. It's just like, well, what else did it do?
What else did it do?
Oh, it tried to nuke us.
It tried to blow up the chemical plant. What? Oh, sorry, the nuclear power plant, right? That's what it was?
Yeah, it was a nuclear power plant. It tried to nuke us.
Springfield, but in France.
Yes, yeah. You know, Chernobyl was probably like that before it happened, but...
Oh, Kordlioko.
Yeah, they were... We're in the fail timeline.
This is the real timeline.
Yeah.
I do have, like, one other note that I wrote about this, just just because I never realized it until, like, we finally got, like, a full-on, like, just... only shot of Ulrich properly in this episode. His head is so big.
I have this in my notes somewhere. Give me a second. Big forehead.
Like, I wrote down specifically, holy shit, Ulrich's head is fucking huge.
Foreheads? I have it in my notes here somewhere. Yes.
Like, everyone's head is just kind of big, but, like, Ulrich's got that, like, Sakura forehead going on.
I don't know where the... Oh, I do have it. That's literally, like, two lines down. That's literally two lines down from my notes we were just on. Is that everybody's fucking... has huge-ass heads. I think it's because... No. Okay. So, it was... So, it's the sissy
Caroline
shots.
Caroline is mine, and I'm 26. That's not good.
It's the sissy shots for me. Because she has, like, the McDonald's arch, but it's more like... It's more like the Majin symbol. It's her is her hairline, and, like, her forehead's just pushed all the way back. Like, her head is very, like, octagonal. Yeah, I also have that in my notes, because you just get some headshots for people. Like, it doesn't look that bad in the 3D world, like, when they're in the Yoko, but, like, man. They really did the right thing by stopping the animation and going for live action, because, oof, everybody actually looks proportionate. Yeah. But yeah, so they're going on, they have a plan. They're going to try and help Ulrich. Meanwhile, they apparently have a field trip to the library or something like that?
To the swimming pool.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, destination really doesn't matter in this situation. It's the ride that really mattered.
Yeah.
And apparently...
Again, where is the city? They're taking a ride on a fully electric city bus.
In 2006? That's crazy!
Yeah!
And I want to make a note. I have it in my notes later, but the bus goes 150 miles per hour.
And it has a fuel gauge. It's not fully electric at all.
It's a hybrid. But they get on this electric bus. Okay, so it's Ulrich, Sissy, Herb, a bunch of other kids, and Odd. He has to sit with Sissy because she's blackmailing him. So the whole point of this is that she's blackmailing that she'll out his diary, right? Which,
yeah,
the four of them are like, oh, fuck, Lyoko. But honestly, I think she's banking on the fact that Ulrich's like a middle schooler who has a diary. And that is back in 2006, is a boy that has a diary and calls it a diary and not a journal. Also, maybe stuff about Yumi in there like she's going to expose on MySpace. So
we can't let the world know that Ulrich has feelings.
Yeah, even though at the end of every fucking episode.
Unless it's for Sissy.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the moment where like they're all getting on the bus.
I have it quoted. I have it quoted. I know what you're talking about.
I'm so excited. go you say what your quote is.
When Odd gets on, so they're all getting on the bus, right? And then Jim's just like shuttling them in, and he's just like, this baby's state of the art, it's fully electric. And he's just like, this is gonna be the best ride you're ever in. And Odd gets on, and he's just like, I bet this crate moves as fast as a snail, and then just moves towards the back. I'm just like, this guy, like, Odd channels 50-year-old energy all the time, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, no, I love Odd. I have something completely different here, too, but I love that moment. So, like, we get to see, like, Xana's, you know, weird black tendril hand thing.
His ghost possession, yes.
And, like, it possesses the bus. And, like, him and the bus driver, who has a very weird voice actor, are like, what's going on? And the bus driver literally goes, I don't know. I had really jazz this morning. Like, just starts jamming his finger into the console, which is where you're able to see the fuel gauge on it, which clearly is showing like it has half a tank of gas in it. So like obviously fully charged, right?
I don't know.
But my favorite thing out of the whole thing, because we're hearing Xana's theme, which honestly. Mm-hmm. Very, very good ominous music from the early 2000s, right? It's really cool, and like they're both looking at it and they literally shrug, and the kids are all just standing, and you're hearing this theme, and then Jim turns around, points his finger, and shouts, everybody sit down. And when he does that, the music just cuts out.
Yeah. No, that was so good on the production team, because like as soon as they just ignore the fact that something weird happened and go back to normal, the music just immediately back to the normal music. No, that was good. But yeah.
I fully charged this morning. I don't understand what's going on. He's like, sit back down until we get to the pool. And then the bus driver puts his hand on the fucking wheel, closes the door, and starts driving. What was the issue?
Yeah, my other thing is, like, they literally, so, like, the Xan, I don't know if, like, it's confirmed later on, but like whenever Xana possesses something, it's usually when something's alone, right? Like it's never around other people, except in this instance where it literally hops in, starts doing random shit, and then they visually react to the ghost like flying away, and they're just like, what the hell was that? And they're just like, oh, I don't know. Anyway, sit back down. But yeah, they go and take it for a ride. Jeremy goes and tells Yumi what is happening. She punches a photo of Einstein.
Poor Einstein, right in the mouth too.
Yeah, poor guy. And Jeremy goes off to the factory. I don't know why, honestly. I have no idea why he goes there, because no signs of Xana came until they got on the bus. So I don't know if he was trying to like get to Sissy's data or what was happening. But Yumi goes, I think Aelita says something about there's something happening in Lyoko. So he goes to the factory. Yumi goes and tries to find Ulrich's journal, his diary. Ends up finding Sissy's diary. And this is where I have my notes. Sissy has a big ass forehead. They all have giant foreheads, actually. Yumi goes and finds Sissy's diary while trying to find Ulrich's. then calls Sissy, blackmails Sissy with her diary, finds his diary after Sissy tells her because she's going to blackmail her with all the information about, like, Ulrich, about liking Ulrich and, like, probably other things. And then it just hangs up the phone, and Ulrich's just like, well, ain't that a bitch, and then moves over to go sit with Odd. And then Sissy's just, like, sitting there, and then Herb pops up from the seat behind her, just like, oh, man. Oh,
I was, thank God that guy's gone.
Yeah, I wonder when he was going to leave. Like, oh, well, like, I have it quoted, I was wondering when that guy would get off your back. And then she's just like, shut up, Herb. And then just, like, huffs and looks away outside.
Oh, but you missed a very important part. The part where they bring up the Xana attack that is clearly going on. Because, like, Odd and Ulrich are on the phone with Jeremy, who's talking to Alita in the forest zone. The best zone. But...
We still haven't seen my favorite zone. Really, really sad.
Izone?
Yeah, Izone's my favorite zone. Besides Sector 5. Spoilers.
It's pretty, Sector 5 is so cool. Spoilers. But the bus is only going 20 miles an hour. And like,
and they're just like,
it's so slow. And the bus driver's like, I don't understand.
No. Jim's just like,
what? And it just won't go.
Jim's like, what's happening? And it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, and they're on the phone. I'm like, it must be Xana, and like, it's brand new. It's brand new technology. This is obviously probably the first ever fully electric bus,
especially in that town.
Full of kids. It is moving at 20 miles an hour, which Odd already had said it was going to. Obviously, this is Xana.
Okay, so that's what it was. But Jeremy was heading to the factory already, I think, due to Ilita.
He was just there because he wanted to talk to her.
And then they called him, and they were just like, Jeremy!
Maybe they assumed that that Sissy stealing Ulrich's diary must have been Xana. which, if it was, that would have been an incredible plot line.
Possesses middle schooler just to blackmail other middle schooler he wants dead.
Into dating them.
Yeah,
Xana's into that Ulrich head.
Xana's like, you know what? I really like what you do in Lyoko. Give it to me.
That triangle attack's really cool.
Yeah. Can you triplicate me? But then we just go on a wild ride. Just Xana's flooring it. After the slowness, Xana's like, you know what? I need to turn on the NOS. And then just goes over 90 miles an hour through traffic, ignoring everything that's happening.
And the bus driver's like, I don't understand. I've got no control. But his hands are just up in the air the whole time. He's not even trying to, like, gain control.
Also, they're going so, so, so fast. And then the scene transitions over to Odd and Ulrich just walking up the front of the bus like nothing's happening. You're just like, what's going on with the bus? And they're just all standing still. And Jim's just like, go back in your seats. Like, no one's feeling the G-force. They're just all just like, what's happening, man? He's like, I don't know. Like, I'm not doing anything.
Dude, the fucking, like, power that must be in their shins to be able to not feel the force of the bus. Because, like, there's a shot of them, like, just standing there posed up.
Yes! That's what I mean. Anything.
And, like, Jim's holding on for dear life.
Bro, Lyoko has trained them so... Like, it's like when Kirito came out of Sword Art Online and he was, like, swinging the wooden katana around, and his sister was just like, man, that's usually super heavy. And he's just like, yeah, I've been doing other things. Like, I used to have two of these things. And then, like, it trains his muscle, which isn't even muscle memory, like his brain, his actual memory translated into his body working correctly somehow, like artificial muscle memory. It must work the same thing for the Lyoko kids. I'm going to bring it up later, but I feel like these guys experience death every single time, because every time we see them come out, it looks like they're dead. It looks like they just got revived from the Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we get to the point where, you know, it's going like super fast. And then they're on the phone with Jeremy, and he's like, you know, Ilita's going to an activated, to an activated tower. Or an unactivated tower. Like, it's pinging Yumi is going, is coming to the factory. Like, we need you guys. I'm loading up your cards now. And we get, Odd and Ulrich are just like, ah, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to, Ulrich's like, I'm going to stay here and help. And
you
then,
go with that.
Yeah, he's like, you go. And then Odd's, I was like, how are they going to, I was like, how is this going to happen? This bus is going like 100 miles an hour. What's happening here? And
Odd
then
walks up to the fucking front and to Jim's absolute horror, opens the door and
just
jumps,
shoots himself out the door, literally unscathed, no torn anything, out of a bus going, we see in the next frame, 150 miles an hour. And Odd's just like, oh yeah, I'm good, and then just books it to the factory.
Also, and like, Jim's screaming about this. No one else is screaming. I would have suspected like the entire bus to be like, what the fuck? He's dead.
Yeah.
But
he just gets up. So
but also, and like, I make a point about this later on, because like, we briefly see it, because Jeremy's trying to like pinpoint them somehow, because that's just the computer he's using. And he uses it later to like figure out the whole whole projected course of this bus.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Based on
this
roads?
Bus is currently moving 150 miles per hour. It is going in a straight line.
Yes.
How big is this city that they live in?
Yeah. No,
they're,
you bring up
like
a great point.
On the Autobahn. What is happening?
150 miles an hour. They would have made it to their destination. I mean, they probably passed. Xana probably took them on like the byway and made them go off an exit to go in a Yui to gain like more momentum or something like that.
Please.
Because I don't think they live in a town. They must live in like a mega city to go from their academy to what we later find out is like, what is it? The power plant? No. This is the petrochemical station.
Yeah, they're driving towards a chemical station, which also, like, this has a nuclear power plant, the abandoned factory, the one school that's a private school.
Yes.
And a chemical plant.
Yeah, a petrochemical plant. So Odd just survives a deadly car crash, books it to the factory. Yumi makes it to the factory.
Jim's wondering how he's going to keep his job.
Yeah, Jim's just like, oh my God, I'm about to, like, we're stuck inside of this crazy vehicle. Like, what's going to happen? Keep in mind, after Odd does that, Xana's just like, oh, we ain't having that again. And then just locks the... Oh, no, he doesn't do that.
He permanently
Jim's,
locks...
No, it's because Jim's trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. So he starts cutting wires. And then when they try to open it up and are like,
that's right.
We need to jump
two.
They're like, we need to jump two. And he's just like, you idiot. You cut the wires to open the door. And he's just like, literally, he's like, oh, oops.
Also, when Odd gets down into the sewer, which, like, I don't understand. Like, they must have, like, skateboards and scooters set up everywhere. Because
it's so big.
Because it's so big. It's such a big city.
Every corner that leads to the factory.
The sewer system is huge.
Every corner that leads to the factory just has a skateboard. They've been stealing skateboards off of Academy property, like, since they started going to Lyoko. They're like, oh, we need this.
Like, it has to. Like, this can't just, like, happen to be the same entrance. Because if it is, did Jeremy just walk all the way to the factory? Because his scooter is there.
Yeah, that's also true. And there is a third. Yumi is at the factory, and there is a third skateboard there.
Yeah.
They're like, it's an IRL game as well. Once they get to the checkpoint, everything heads back to where it spawns at.
Yeah. No. And like, Jim and the bus driver are like crawling around on the ground, just trying to make sure everyone's secure and stuff. And I hope this bus driver gets fucking fired, because he's a creep. Because he like gets up to like where Herb and Sissy are sitting, and like he's talking to Herb. He's like, kid, calm the fuck down. Which isn't just like, the problem. Herb is like freaking out. But then he, while his hand is on the shoulder of Herb, so he's touching a student now.
Yes.
He's looking at Sissy and he says the line, "Does the little girl need help?"
Yeah. Not very comforting. Sissy's there.
Like, the little girl does not need help. Nah.
Not very comforting there, weird electric bus man. The way that a lot of these episodes are going to go is we have the problem, and the problem is usually the most fun part. And then everything that happens in Lyoko, which we'll go over a little bit. So between the issue that's happening and stuff happening in Lyoko, you know, Jeremy figures out that Xan is trying to, like, literally catapult this fucking bus into a petrol station and cause a big kaboom. Yumi and Aelita are going to try and find the tower. Ulrich is trying to communicate between Jeremy for the kids and everything. And then Sissy gets up and is like, "Hey, I'm sorry." Really randomly, by the way. Just kind of like out of nowhere, just like, "I'm sorry about what I did. Can I help in any way?" And then he just hands him his phone. He's just like, "You're going to be our middleman," which isn't really that relevant at all.
While he's also talking to Jim, he relays Jeremy's information, saying
that he's just like,
towards it.
He's like, "Jimmy."
And Jim has my favorite fucking line, because like Ulrich's like, Jeremy thinks we're headed straight for the petrochemical plant, and Jim has the most realistic reaction to anything that's ever been said on this show, which is, "Well, how is he supposed to know that?"
Yeah. For all he knows, Jeremy's sitting in his bed. He's just like, "Well, I think you guys are going to be flung into the Empire State Building." Just like random off the wall shit. But meanwhile, while they're about to get freaking Tokyo drifted into a gas tank, Yumi is having the worst day in fucking Lyoko, because her and Aelita are in the forest area. No, it's not in the forest area. It's in the desert area. It's in the desert area. They're getting chased around by a mega tank that is apparently a stand user and has a roaming sandstorm around it at all times, which I'm just saying, Xana, just do this every time. It doesn't even have to be in the desert area. Do this in the forest area. Do this in the snow area. Do this anywhere, and I guarantee you the amount of damage and confusion and discourse you caused in this one time will happen every single time. Because the mega tank is like, you know, you can't hit it until it opens up. Yeah. But the sandstorm just like gives everybody minus 20 perception, apparently. And no one can really function inside of it. So you have the mega tank chasing them around. What are they calling all? Oh, fuck. So while they're trying to deal with it, I have this quote here. It's called "Calling All Cars." And it's,
oh yeah, the cops.
The cops are chasing the runaway electric bus. And it's not like calling in additional units. The cops are just like, "Calling all cars." And then it just transitions over. I'm just like, what the fuck is that line?
I also, I don't know if you noticed this, but like after that has occurred, we never see the bus driver again.
He jumped.
He's just kind of gone now, and the only people that are talking and like really matter on the bus are Sissy, Ulrich, and Jim. And Jim's immediate reaction to seeing the cops following them and them like having to like jump back and forth between which side of the bus they're putting their weight into to, I guess, maybe try to knock the bus over because of the turns that it's using. That's my best guess, because they never clarify what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
Jim's immediate reaction to them doing that is being like, "All right, guys, we only have one hope. We should jump out the door
at 150 miles per hour.
You locked the door."
No, he was like, "We need to jump out the windows."
No, he says jump out the door. He says try the door.
What a dummy.
And then like nobody brings it up. Everyone's just like, "Ah, that's not a good idea." And then Jim's like, "You're right." And then he like punches
the window.
This like random glass break in case of emergency, gets a hammer out of it, breaks open the window, and almost immediately falls out of the bus.
Oh, what was it? I have the quote here. I have the quote that Ulrich says.
What, Jim? Don't you like it
here? Yeah.
As don't Jim's you like it here, screaming Jim? And almost having his face get peeled off on concrete.
Oh, no, that is good. Meanwhile, in Lyoko, they're struggling here. Sometimes they're
bodied.
Yeah, no, it is crazy.
The Megatank takes a while to charge up its blast, but apparently this one fucking forgets that.
Yeah, that one is CC 0%. Aelita, she like shows some weird ass abilities within the next couple episodes. I put Aelita is God. She just creates a platform from singing. She can just sing and everything goes. She's like a Disney princess. Yeah. Odd gets set in. Yumi just gets fucked by the Mega Tank. She literally is laying down and takes two hits. She didn't even get up. She got hit, moved a little bit, and then got hit again, and then just... Not really good showings from Yumi when it comes to how her Lyoko stats go. I don't remember where this is from. Oh no, this is when Odd's going in and Yumi just got beat by the Mega Tank. Jeremy starts crashing out. He's like, Aelita's alone. Like, someone has to get in there. We need to help her. I was just like, oh my God. He's really crashing out about his virtual girlfriend. Like, guy is going crazy. The emotion, if you guys watch this episode, when it comes to this part, he sounds like he's distraught about, like, someone about to run somebody else over. Like, someone losing a 1v1. Like, when Gohan was getting beat up by Cell in the Cell games. Like, oh my God, someone help him! What was it?
And I then, don't know when it's supposed to happen. But, like, Aelita can attack things. I don't know why she doesn't. I wonder if there's, like, actually a reason.
So, okay. So, her powers are very limited until an event later on. Then we do see that she's a competent person. Okay. But she's always, like, kind of like a support. She's more like a cleric, in all honesty. When you look at, like, their roles. Like, she can't do, like, a whole bunch. Because she can do some supporty stuff. But Odd comes in. And then she says the weirdest, most uncanny valley thing. She's like, welcome to our world. Like, very, very, very weird. Comes around a tree and says that. Or comes around, like, a rock and says that. Then Xana starts, like, terraforming the map. He literally just starts, like, creating more cracks in the platforms and starts moving everything around. And then, Spin Kid. Do I have this? Oh, yes. So Odd and Yumi, not Odd and Yumi, Odd and Aelita are getting chased by the Mega Tank that has the stand, Darude Sandstorm. Getting chased by him. Odd makes the most MLG decision, grabs Aelita. Throws her, like, a big, big throw, like Mark Henry throwing Wolverine, trying to imitate the Hulk with a fastball special. Throwing her across the ridge, and then doing this, like, spin.
Roll.
Yeah, he does, like, a spin jump and looks super cool. The Mega Tank just falls into the endless digital sea, and then... You know, she goes pretty normal Code Lyoko things. Everybody's about to die. Aelita goes into the tower, types in Lyoko.
We get a shot inside of the chemical plant, like literally seconds away from dying. The bus fully drives in, and there's three cop cars that followed it.
Yeah.
And, like, the bus is going 150 miles an hour, so that means the cops are going 150 miles an hour, fully knowing that they have no way to stop before crashing into the chemical plant.
Yeah, they just said forget it.
It's a good way to go.
Yeah, but like every it literally inches away, the bus comes to a complete stop at 150 miles an hour. Crazy brakes on this thing. But the normal Lyoko stuff happens. Everybody gets sent back in time to before the events happened. We never do really get a good general idea of when it's supposed to happen. Like when they get sent back in time. It's obviously before Xana does his thing, but like when is like, is it a day? Is it a couple hours? Is it minutes? Is it seconds? We don't really, we know that it's the beginning of the episode, but that's pretty much it. And then we see Yumi going to Sissy's hiding spot of his diary earlier in the day before he can get blackmailed. Blackmailing doesn't work. There's also this really, really weird tension between them when Yumi gives him the diary. She's like, I really want to know what's in, or he says, like, I want to tell you what's in my diary. And she's just like, I'd like that. And he's like, one day I'll tell you, Yumi. And they just stand there. And then he's just like, well, I got to go to class. And like, she just waves and like they're silhouetted. And I was just like, oh man. Like, if you ever thought like a TV show was shipping two people more, just watch this show. Like, it's happened since episode one, and you just know that it's there, and you're just waiting for the payoff. And then the blackmail fails, and that's the end of the episode. They, like, jump in. He literally goes into their room, into their dorm room, and just, like, shows them that he got his diary back, and they all, like, jump for joy, like one of those freeze-frame jumps in the middle of the air.
Yeah.
But that was episode four. So, final thought of this one. I thought this was a pretty strong episode.
This episode gave me like a heart attack every like 5 seconds for the wild shit that happened in it. And I honestly like love it for it. This is easily one of the most entertaining like episodes of like a children's cartoon I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely the 150 mile per hour bus and everybody just either jumping or suggesting to jump off is really what gets me.
Everyone's just ready to jump.
Like, Jim's just like, we all should jump. But then the second that he is about to fall off the bus, he's just like, no, help me, help me, help me. As if the jumping was going to make it any better than him falling.
I thought you liked it here.
Don't you like it here, Jim? And it's the strain on Ulrich's voice. The strain on Ulrich's voice when it happens, he's just like, what are you, because it's him and another kid pulling Jim up. He's just like, I thought you liked it here, Jim, in the most sarcastic voice ever.
So funny.
I'd give this at least 4 Xanas out of 5. Very good episode.
I agree.
A little weak on the Lyoko stuff, but I think the seismic toss of Aelita and then the jump pull through after Yumi's poor performance. excuse me, dry cough. The next episode is episode 5, titled Big Bug, which I don't remember a whole time. Oh, okay. It's this episode. Never mind.
It's the Kiwi episode. It's yes. The first of what will be many episodes. For those who don't remember, because we briefly met him, we're properly meeting him for the first time in this episode. Odd has a pet. Pets are not allowed at Katic Academy. But for the most part, nobody actually gives a shit that Odd has one. And in fact, a lot of the time, they actually really love it, and they are seen like petting the dog.
Also,
like, this is a great dog.
Also, most of the time, when people find out that Kiwi exists, Xana attacks, and it just happens to work out for them because their memories get rewinded.
Yeah, no, exactly. There will be many of these episodes where Odd is up to hijinks with, and Kiwi is a part of it. Because Kiwi just sort of exists, and then Jim, the headmaster, or some other staff member but usually just Jim or the headmaster, end up seeing the dog, and they're like, eh, dog's not allowed, and then they take the dog.
Yes.
And then Odd's like, aw, my dog that's not allowed here got taken away. And then Xana attacks.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mighty convenient that Xana attacked right now. I don't have to send my dog back. Which is, like, so, we'll get into it later, but, like, I won't bring it up now. Phone went in and out. Oop, that was weird. So we start the episode off, Big Bug, with the younger middle schoolers. I forget their names. I have them in another
episode. Tamia and Millie.
Tamia and Millie. I'm sorry. I didn't remember their names, and I didn't want to go check in my notes. They're in, like, every third episode, and, like...
They are.
Like, eventually, I'll learn. They don't call them by their names.
Yes, they do.
Oh, well, apparently.
Sissy doesn't, because she just calls them the Pipsqueaks of Katic Academy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm sissy-pilled. They're goggling over Ulrich. Sissy is being sissy. It's pretty common for her to just be mean to them because they have an interest in Ulrich. And then she's arguing with them, and then she's like, no one wants a little kid. They want a mature woman like me or something like that. And then the gang pulls up to them, like Ulrich and them come over, and she's just like, now watch and learn. And she goes to, like, ask Odd, I'm guessing, which is a weird choice for her. She literally just, like, she says something along the lines of, oh, she says, like, Ulrich, when are you going to admit, when are you going to come out of your delusions and admit that you like me? And he's just like, I don't have any delusions. I don't like you, sissy.
You're wrong. I'm not shy at all. I'm just allergic to people who are conceited.
Yeah. And then, like, they
and
just...
everyone laughs at it, including Sissy's friend.
And then she, like, storms off or something like that. What is it? I have this quote here, and I don't know what it's from.
What's the quote?
You ought to be a dog trainer when you grow up. I don't know. I think it's in reference to Sissy and her dudes, like the Herb and Nicholas. Oh, yeah, no, it is, because, like, they, like, look like they're cool. They're, like, trying to, like, intimidate them, and then she's like, calm down, and then he's just like, you ought to be a dog trainer when you grow up. But after everybody laughs at Sissy for being sissy, Odd and Ulrich go to feed Kiwi. Yumi goes to visit Jeremy because she's jealous that Sissy would make an inference that Ulrich likes Sissy in any way, because Yumi does not know how to function with her emotions as a middle schooler.
Yeah.
Which it's a funny banter between Jeremy and her, because he's just like, are you jealous? And she's like, no, I'm not jealous. I just don't think that Ulrich would like Sissy. And he's just like, who do you think he'd like? And she's like, well, I don't know. And, like, they go back and forth. Meanwhile, Ulrich and Odd are like, you know what we should do? We should prank Sissy, because, you know, we're dicks. So they send...
They were just, like, really mean to Sissy this episode.
Yeah, this episode... Yeah, for no exact reason. It's not like they were bullying... I mean, they were kind of, like, getting at Millie and...
Tamia.
Sorry. And, yeah, fake fan here. It might be because of that, because she was being a dick to them, but I honestly think this is just, like, them being
mean. It was for fun. It was for sport. Let's be honest.
Sissy gets a text saying to meet me at the garden shed, which was from an anonymous text message that she assumes is Ulrich. To which, in this same moment... some trains just get possessed by our friendly neighborhood computer virus.
And this is where I have one of my biggest issues. Like, I know that we put a review at the end of it, and, like, I'll give my full score when we get there. I hate this episode. I rewatched this episode 3 times to try to have more notes for it. My only real note is that this episode sucks except for Kiwi. And it has remained that way since my first time watching it. The Xana attack is just stupid. And it sounds stupid by the people describing it. Because Xana takes over 2 trains that are on like opposite sides of town, which for all we know is the entire size of Europe. And they both just start speeding. They just start going at full speed. One's a freight train. The other is another freight train. Neither have people on it, which the 2 people who have never voice acted before and were brought into this are telling each other. And like the one main guy is like, "Oh, there's an eye on my computer." And like the woman's like, "Well, neither of them have passengers on it. They're fully like automatic locomotives. What? How long until they collide?" And the guy's like, "Oh, there's going to be 46 minutes until they collide. But train 37A is a special freight train carrying highly toxic chemicals." What the fuck kind of Dr. Seuss plot is going on right now?
Yeah. I do want to preface that it's not just those trains. Xana has apparently taken over the entire world's train network, which sounds a little bit more ridiculous. But yeah, the main objective of Xana is just to cause this
main computer system.
Yeah. all of the train systems, which in the background, the news plays about like how certain cargo aren't making it on time, so it's causing delays. And then just in the background, they're just like, "Oh yeah, and then this other one's going to collide with the other one, and then toxic chemicals."
The picture that they put up on the map when they're talking about how the country's computers are affected and the trains are having issues?
No, I don't remember off the top of my head.
It is a weird picture of, like, you know, the world map. And it, like, we're getting to see, like, basically what the world looks like for the first time in this series. And it looks like Europe and Africa have, like, combined into a new Pangea.
Maybe that's where they are.
My big thing that that would make sense. We're going from one side to the other. But my biggest thing about it is the fact that they're talking about how like the trains are being affected, and they just put up in the corner of the world map a picture of a bus with a question mark on it. What?
Interesting. They're just like, "Hey guys, remember that issue from a couple weeks ago with the bus? Remember that? Is this a coincidence? I think not." We transition. So after, like, that's the Xana plot. Like, I don't think we have to really go into it because, like, that's pretty much it. Like, you get the other stuff that's happening is way more interesting. So after they see the news, because they see this news while they're talking about Sissy and everything, they split up. Jeremy goes to the factory, of course. Yumi goes to find the boys who are pulling the prank on Sissy. The prank is hiding Kiwi inside of the shed, who then pops out when Sissy opens it and then gives her kisses, to which she's not satisfied with. She yells at the boys. The boys run, like, walk off. And then Kiwi, the most well-behaved and best-listening dog, gets told by his father, Odd, "Go back home." To which Kiwi looks at him and he's just like, "All right, cool." And then he just starts walking back to the dorm. Like, the dorm, when he gets there, the dorm room is, like, open. Like, it's the door's open. What if it was closed? How was he going to get back in?
It's true.
Was he just going to, like, paw at it? Was he just going to, become human size and just, like, grab it? But to which the second part of the second plot of the story initiates, where Sissy gets an idea of, well, since dogs aren't allowed on campus, I'm going to fuck this up for Odd. Snitches on him. Tells the principal, who is also her dad, by the way, about it. Jim takes Odd to the principal's office with Kiwi in hand. Poor Kiwi. We love him. And to which, during this, Yumi finds them, who has been calling them for hours, apparently, to tell them about Xana. And, well, what is it, 46 minutes? She's been calling them for a couple minutes, because we have 46 minutes on the timer for before the world's craziest train crash happens. And she scolds them because they turned off their phones because they were hiding from Sissy during the initial prank. And then Odd can't go to Lyoko because he's getting punished and has to go to the principal. Yumi and Ulrich head towards the factory while trying to ignore Odd's shenanigans. They get put in. What is it? They get put in. They start running towards the tower. They like verbally announce how like it's quiet, but it's quiet, but too quiet, literally out in the air, to then be, bombarded by four of my favorite enemy, the Blocks, who are just crabs really with blocks on their head, which are their biggest weak spot. I love
all the enemy designs.
I do like a lot of the enemy designs.
We haven't seen the wasps yet, right?
No, we have not. We have not seen the wasps yet.
What a cool enemy.
Very underrated enemy, by the way, because all of the rest of them, although the cankerlats and like the difference between the cankerlats, the crabs, and the blocks, obviously, besides size or how fast they move, because the crabs move at like this kind of like medium to slow pace because of how the long appendages work, but they have the size of their body and their weapons to make up for it. The blocks have the speed of a cankerlat in some ways. They're a little bit slower, but I put them at like a medium speed, and they have like the cankerlat. They're pretty much just like bigger cankerlats in a way with what they have. Except, like, they can make as, like, an actual vehicle if people just wanted to ride them because they have no way of getting them off their head. They get in. They want Aelita to get to the tower as soon as possible because, you know, deadly chemical. Yumi takes her towards the tower location, or at least where they think it is. My boy Ulrich pulls up to them in a 1v4 situation and uses Triplicate like it's his only ability and just starts knocking them out. My dude Ulrich has, like, out of all of the abilities we've seen so far, Ulrich's is probably, like, the most busted because of his abilities. I'd say Odd's, just based on, like, passive things that he can do, being his, like, future sight that comes in randomly, His agility.
I hate that he can see the future randomly. And like,
it confused me on the first episode. I was just like, what? What?
Yeah, it happens in like the next episode and we'll like talk about it specifically. But like, they don't really cover that Odd just has this ability. He just has it. And like,
can't control it.
It's very nonchalant because like, he like leaves Lyoko and walks up to Jeremy. He's like, Jeremy, I had a vision. If any of my friends came up to me and said that, I'd be like, okay, what do you want?
Yeah. What do you want? What did you do? But I guess it's fine since it's Lyoko. But we see in the real world, Odd gets a visit with the principal and they have to stay in the detention room with Kiwi until Odd's parents have to pick him up. I'm gonna come back to the point that I originally was talking about in the beginning of this episode. If they're driving to come get Odd, why was he going through TSA in the last two episodes? He was just going back home.
It's true.
He was smuggling Kiwi. He was smuggling Kiwi, which, you know, is illegal to do. And if his parents have to come there and smuggle Kiwi back, that's a whole other problem. You know what I mean? So where was he going? Why was he going through TSA? Is this like a it was faster to fly type of situation? I don't know. But that really bothered me. Meanwhile, Ulrich's taking some W's. Jim takes a big L by trying to take Kiwi out outside because Odd was trying to create a distraction for them because Jeremy's like pinging his phone. He's just like, Xana, SOS, like we need you. So he needed a way to get out of detention and go back to the factory and then just leave Kiwi with Jim. He gets dragged away by him. Big L for Jim. By the time he gets back in there, Odd leaves and Kiwi didn't pee outside, but he peed inside the classroom. Big W for Kiwi right there.
Big W Odd. For Jim too, because even though like Jim is like having to took away Kiwi and whatnot, he's still taking care of him.
Also, he gets Tamia and Millie like make fun of him. They're just like, no, but they know that's his dog. They know that's not his dog. They know that's Odd's dog, and they're just making fun of him when he's trying to like get Kiwi to pee. They're just like, "Aw, little dog for the big man."
It's messed up, man. All this Jim hate going on.
Yeah,
poor guy.
They get teased, so they have to tease back. Ulrich pretty much clutches most of the fight. He 1v4s and takes out three of them before he gets deleted. Odd gets sent in. Yumi uses her like occasional telekinesis and throws the rock at the block, which seems like, you know, everything's fine. I put in my notes, it doesn't seem like a very good power. She also doesn't seem like she's good with it. Might be hard to focus, ? This telekinesis power might be a detriment more than a benefit. She was facing blocks, and blocks have a very giant weak point that Ulrich and we'll see in the future, Odd, with like two different types, like Odd's far range, Ulrich's close range. They can use that like to their advantage, and like they take them out pretty easily, right? Yumi has like, I don't think Odd ever uses his claws for anything. Only in like,
he does.
Does he use them to take them out?
I believe he's used them. He ends up using them at some point to like kill some crabs.
Okay.
Like the main thing he uses them for, which we've already seen and will like continue to see, is climbing.
Yeah, so his acrobatic skills.
But like, I do believe he kills some enemies with actually just like scratching with
them. Okay, claws. So far we've only seen that he is a far range, or at least like he has to use ranged weapon.
He's definitely a ranged weapon user. Whether he's actually proficient with it,
he did like he was literally 2 feet in front of a Cankrelia and then just got shot. So, you know,
he let that happen.
Sure. But I bring this up because like
so stupid.
From what we've seen so far, right? Yumi's the only one that can kind of like go through both. Like Ulrich has to get super close, and like Odd can be like at a decent range, but Yumi, her fans like are dual. Like she can throw them and then they also work as a weapon, but she can also like stab things with them. We'll see a little bit later. You'd think she'd want to use those instead of her telekinesis. But no, she doesn't. She uses telekinesis. And, like, everything seems fine. And then, boom, a mega tank out of fucking nowhere. Like, that mega tank came back from a vengeance. I think my headcanon is that mega tank fell in the digital sea. Xana picked it back up and then put it into this new area. And it was just like, oh, fuck, Yumi. I hate this girl. And then immediately takes her out with its fucking ray. And then Aelita's, like, screaming. And then she pulls, I have in my notes, Aelita pulls the same Avatar shit from the last episode, and she sings to the Mega Tank.
Yeah.
To like, I forget what she does. She like causes like another terraforming shift or something like that. Odd comes into this instance of Lyoko just to get himself sacked. He literally just like runs in front of the attack. I have in my notes here, makes a really weird moan during the scene. Because if you go back and watch that, like, not just him and Aelita are like sharing a moment there. And it just is really weird and slowed down and made me uncomfortable to watch. But he didn't actually like beat the mega tank. He just kind of let Aelita get into the tower. And then normal Lyoko stuff, like we said, return to the past now. Jeremy said it. The trains don't crash into each other. Huge W.
That shot that Odd did, he was like far away from the mega tank, you know, when he killed it with his laser arrow after getting shot.
Okay, he did. Okay, so it was he gets shot by it.
He like he takes the hit for Aelita, goes down, and then he's like laser arrow, and then shoots it. And like, you know, he's very far away. I'm saying this now not to be like, see, Odd's really good at his job, but to set up for being mad in the next episode.
Okay. And then return to the past now. Jeremy actually says it. I have it in my notes every time he says it and doesn't say it. Because it took two episodes for him to say it. He didn't say it in episode 4, but he says it now in episode 5. The change now is that the prank is instead of without Kiwi, they text Herb a very similar message to meet Sissy in the shed as Sissy, to which Herb thinks this is his confession and tries to make out with Sissy and knocks her on the ground. And they have it recorded on a camera. And it's very
funny.
It's
still mean and still unnecessary.
Yes. But she doesn't know it's them because they don't come out about it. So they don't get reported to her dad, the principal. And then there's like this odd 10 seconds before the episode ends of Yumi and Auric just staring at each other. I make note of it every single time it happens.
He was like, oh, that was so hot of you to do that.
Yeah, that prank.
Mentally though. Like, ah, oh, I love it when you mess with a poor woman's emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
Fuck Herb. What? It was in like episode like 2 or 3, right? Where like they were like, Sissy and Jim were like dying in the gas, and like Sissy said like that really really sad thing, which was just, I really want to hang out with them and spend time with them, but they like never give me a chance. Which like also like, you know, Sissy does really fucked up shit, but also like, if all she really wants is to like actually be a part of that friend group and for Ulrich to like her, like sure she goes about it like in a really bad way to like try to have it be the thing, mm-hmm. And that doesn't excuse her bad behavior, but like no one deserves this, and why are you taking a picture of that to be able to look at it in the future? What happens if that gets circulated? You know, like. That's, and like, didn't they like say in the episode like, oh, I can't? Yeah, no, they say that they're gonna give it to Tamiya and Millie, like,
oh, to the for the news, yeah,
news, mm-hmm. And it's gonna circulate everywhere. Like, what the hell? You're more of a bully than she is.
Yeah, but the episode,
like, ah, we're the main characters.
We can do it because it's fun. People
uncomfortable. Us and our powerful shins.
And our time manipulation.
And our time manipulation.
We are the controllers. E-girl. Yeah, and our e-girl that our e-boy is really crazy about. I give this like a 3 Xanas. I don't particularly hate it. It's very... You bring it up in the beeline plot with Xana. Honestly, could have been anything, because the other things. Honestly, if it was like Xana possessed Kiwi or Xana possessed Sissy to snitch to get them disoriented or something like that, I'd buy that more than Train. That really didn't have any impact on them, because it's like a thing that happens in the background, and everything so far has been stuff immediate to them, right? Like the bear literally rampaged throughout the school. Apparently the school is right next to the nuclear power plant. And then more recently in the last episode, two of the Lyoko warriors were on the bus. So, like, comparatively, this attack from Xana, even compared to the bear, is very small and kind of unrelated to them. Like, we don't really get a sense of danger because they're not like, oh, like, Jeremy's not, like, calculating it, and he's just like, and then the train's gonna land, they're gonna collide in front of our academy. Like, this could have been anywhere. Like, we're just making the assumption that it's close enough to them or it's a harmful enough effect that this would affect them later on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, I don't really think that the Xana part is really that strong in this episode. But I do have to say the Kiwi part is the thing that carries it.
This is the only episode so far where multiple times throughout I have groaned because I was like
okay, Odd did?
This episode must be getting close to the end, and I go and like check how long it's been, and it's only been like 2 minutes. It kept just going on and on without anything interesting happening, and you know, part of it like really sucks for like a watch through instead of like just watching an individual episode. Because if like what when I went back and rewatched it, I had a better time with it than just like right off the heels of the last episode, which was incredible.
Yeah, because it's hard not to compare it to what you just saw.
Exactly. But even when I went back and just watched it as its own thing, I still felt like it just kept going on and on for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'd give this episode a 1. I really didn't like
it. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. I feel like the 3 is too much for it then. Maybe like a 2.5. It's like 2 3/4 Xana. And then the next episode, I want to structure this a little differently. And let me know if you're okay with it. But, like, the plot of this, like, I want to talk about, like, the greater details of this one.
This is probably the most important episode we've had.
Yeah. So, part of this episode deals with Jeremy almost cracking the dematerialization program. And then it accidentally getting solved by Odd to the point where they now can possibly bring Aelita back.
Now, Jeremy's weird condom candy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I wonder if it's like fluffy like marshmallows or if it's like hard like a lifesaver.
Odd's crunching on it, so it's like a lifesaver. Like a Werther's original.
Interesting.
Also, like, Aelita just blatantly says some like wild stuff. Because she's like talking about getting to experience new things. She's like, I can't wait to be able to smell things, to be able to taste things, to be able to kiss. And Jeremy's like, whoa.
Yeah, he's just like, ooh. I think she specifically says, like, I'll be able to hold your hand or kiss you. And he's just like, oh. He's just like, girl.
We'll be able to touch each other and then we'll be able to kiss.
Yeah, she's like, we can even kiss. And he's like, oh. And this is before the dematerialization program actually gets finished on accident. But besides the... So the Xana plot for this is the factory... The gym is getting reconstructed. So there's a bunch of construction equipment. There's bulldozers there on the school premises. The Xana subplot is that Xana is taking them and is going to go destroy the factory. Now, during this... So, the factory being destroyed is one thing, because in the future, we do see, like, the danger of people besides, like, the outer world... besides the outer world getting attacked or being destroyed or something like that, the idea of something happening to either the people in the factory or the factory itself are some big points that come up more than once. Never in the same way, but the Xana attacking the factory to stop them does come up more as we go along in the series. But
yeah,
the I want to bring up the fact. So that's like the big thing about this one is that the dematerialization program is up. They can bring back Aelita, but the Xana threat is happening. And they're preparing for Aelita in the meantime, right? So they're like, they're talking about like the logistics of it. They're talking about like, well, Aelita doesn't have an identity, or at least they haven't found an identity, or like this hasn't been thought of, right? Like Aelita doesn't have an identity. She's not enrolled in a school. What happens if we just bring this random girl into existence and like there's no evidence of her ever existing prior?
They all make very, very good points.
Like they're very smart middle schoolers to think of all of these things before they literally bring life into the world. So they mull it over, and then, you know, Jeremy can't sleep through the night and stuff like that. And then they wake up to the sound of the construction equipment and everything like that. They go into Lyoko, and I, there are some points in this that, like, bring, I'm going to talk about the end here, so anything in between, I do have notes about the in-between, but if you want to talk about some in-between points, like when they're in Lyoko, or stuff about the construction equipment or the dematerialization program, go ahead, and I'll chime in. Because we do have, like, some cool scenes where, like, Ulrich and Odd are literally trying to brute force these machines to stop, which I think is kind of funny. There are some fun things where, like, Odd goes into Lyoko by himself pretty much this entire episode, or at least most of the episode, and, like, Ulrich is literally physically getting thrown around by these bulldozers. But I, go ahead. I kind of want to talk about the end of it. You can go ahead and any points that you want to make.
Well, we do. we get to it's reinforced that like Odd and Ulrich are sleeping, like, you know, they're roommates and whatnot. Because like the Xana attack ends up happening in the middle of the night. Yes. And like Jeremy's just like trying to like tell Aelita things, and then Aelita's like, speaking of hearing things, and Jeremy just like keeps going, and she's like, Jeremy, there's an attack happening. And he's like, what? And then he rushes into Odd and Ulrich's room and starts like shaking them awake and shouting that there's a Xana attack. I've never been to a private school before, especially not one where I live on campus.
Mm-hmm.
How is he not waking up other people? The door's wide open and he's literally screaming at the top of his lungs, there's a Xana attack, to the point where Ulrich's able to hear him through the earplugs that he wears to sleep, because Odd snores like I do.
He's like, huh? He's like, what about Xana? He's like, why are you wearing earplugs? He's just like, I'll tell you later.
Yeah. And they, you know, they get outside and see the Xana attack happening, because Xana takes over the two like bulldozers and start driving them. And so Odd and Ulrich hop in to them to try to like maneuver them somehow.
Try and take them out or stop them from what they're doing.
Yeah. And Odd immediately like gives up on it, which like is the smart thing to do for sure.
Understandable.
Ulrich stays to be able to monitor it and give live updates. Also very good. Very good planning. You guys are in middle school. You are very organized.
Some might say like, too organized.
You know, I like this episode quite a lot for a lot of reasons. But the main reason I like it, because it's all in the forest.
They called the So Odd gets into a 1v5 against the Cankrelats, which they called the Roachsters. In the wiki, yes. There is no reference to them being called Roachsters. I kind of question whether Roachsters are their actual name, and I want to see.
Roachster is the original name for them.
Okay.
That is the case. There is a similar thing that happens with the Wasps, because they're actually called Hornets later on, but in season one, they had a different name, which is the Waspsters.
Okay, so it's like season one syndrome that some shows have. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I love the Kinkerlats so much. I especially love them in an episode later on, which I honestly hope happens sooner rather than later, just because I really, really want to see the episode in particular. I love being able to see all these like old designs, because like, you know, it just brings back so many memories.
And they still hold up. Child.
And they still hold up. They look fantastic. They move great. The sound design on them is great. It's so much better than like the tarantulas and the creepers.
I can't believe he said it.
Look, the
it's pretty elephant creepers
and the tarantulas have flesh colored limbs. Like, it's just weird and uncomfortable.
The tarantulas are the best thing in Lyoko. They start coming. They start crawling around. They literally, like, I love in the scenes in the later seasons, like when they're in Sector 5, they like see the tarantulas just crawling around, and they have to like take positions like they're like they have to start taking positions like they're roller droids, and like ready themselves with their blasters as if they were giant bazookas. You know, they're amazing. I love them.
You know my stance. I've already said, like, my favorite enemy is the crabs. Like, we'll get into it like later on. And I won't say what it is, but like, I think everyone can kind of agree what the best enemy design is, which is the Scyphozoa. The Scyphozoa is fucking
awesome. Yeah, the tarantulas.
Yeah, exactly.
Love the tarantulas.
Yeah, tarantula spelled S-C-Y-P other letters.
Zoa. But we see Odd go into a 1v5 against the Roachsters. And
this 1v5 makes me very mad.
He makes this line, like, he's struggling, and then Jeremy, who's like currently getting his factory, like the factory is currently being bulldozed, he's just like,
this is like a real threat too, like, yeah. The bulldozers are like taking out the foundation beams, but also because like I prepped it earlier on, because this is very important information, I think Xana was just like randomly suicidal in this episode.
Well, so like that's because the thing.
If the factory falls apart, it's going to destroy the server that Xana exists on.
I don't think we get confirmation that the server, Lyoko's server, is in the factory.
Well, how does the shutoff switch stop him then?
I don't know. Right? Because he does attack the factory multiple other times. I don't know.
It's true.
Because he's like, he is a virus that like can travel, and like, I do see later on about that, but I don't know. I guess
there's no real confirmation on it, but like, you know, it always like irked me whenever Xana attacked the factory, because I always just assumed that like that's where Lyoko is. But like, you know, if there's a place to do it, if there's a place to attack, like, you know, that is the one. That is, you know, it'll stop them. Maybe it's the whole, well, if I can't win, I'll take them down with me kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Odd's fight against the Roachsters makes me very mad.
Odd apparently only has 10 arrows per virtualization.
Yes.
That is a big nerf. That is a big L for Odd.
Yeah, big L for Odd, especially with the fact that he, like, just uses them willy-nilly. Like, we've seen him have really good aim, like, in the last episode, and he just, for some reason, can't hit a single Roachster, or
also just like chooses to not attack and instead just like does this like weird dance dodging bullets. And Jeremy's like, Odd, kill them. And he's like, easier said than done, but like he's not attacking them.
Jeremy's just like, can you hurry it up, Odd? And I have a quote, and he's like, you want to trade places, Jeremy?
Yeah, Odd is very much a 70-year-old man. But there's this awesome, awesome line where Jeremy's like reminding Odd how many arrows he's used. He's like, careful, Odd, you've used 4 of your 10 laser arrows. And Odd's like, yeah, and here goes 3 more, and he shoots 3 and only kills one roadster with it.
Yeah, he ends up getting down to the 1v3 on 10 HP, and then, like, his future sense activates and then shows him,
Shows Yumi falling into the digital sea.
Yeah.
Which they called it a different thing in this episode, too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it wasn't actually the digital sea.
Hmm. I have it written down as the digital sea in my notes. I wonder if it's just because... That's what I know.
Yes, here it is. He gets devirtualized, and he heads out and walks up to Jeremy, who is sitting in his chair like a G, with like concrete slabs falling next to him, and not even being phased. And Odd just walks up and he's like, "I just had a vision. I saw Yumi falling into the digital void."
Interesting. The digital void instead. Hmm.
Yeah, and then we randomly are able to get like a POV shot from Aelita's eyes of this mega tank that appears in front of them.
Damn mega tanks and Yumi.
Yeah, and like Aelita like looks down and sees this hole, and Odd's like, "That's the one. That's the one for my vision.
That's the hole."
Uh oh. And like Aelita just starts like running towards the tower in a straight line. The mega tank, you know, is this big terrifying monster who's super strong, super hard to kill. If you take one step to the left or right, you're safe after it's fired. And like,
not that hard to avoid.
The beam doesn't move that fast. Like, at times it moves really fast. In this episode, it does not move fast. And so it starts trying to, like, you know, serpentine move, which would have been the smart decision. And it goes to shoot, and then Yumi runs up and, like, tackles the thing into the hole and then falls into the hole after it and holds on for dear life on this ledge that does not look like she should have any grip on it. And Ulrich's just, like, rushing up on there. He's like, I gotta get there, I gotta get there, I gotta get there. And he gets to her hand, and she's like, ah, plot device, and then falls.
Yeah, and then just dies. So this is the one point, the last point, because obviously we get the Aelita activates the tower, returns to the past now, but Yumi has fallen into the digital sea, which means she doesn't come back. Yeah, so she's
fully been virtualized.
Yes. So the gang has this kind of like turmoil where they can use the materialization program on Aelita or, you know, bring back their friend Yumi. Which it's a no-brainer that, you know, they're going to bring Yumi back. Yumi's like, this also gives me credence that these guys just experience death every time they get devirtualized or every time they get taken out. Like, she's just oh my God, what happened?
This also brings up a very, very important thing. Which is that if you die... this is our first real confirmation on it. If you die before they return to the past or fall into the virtual sea, which is the same thing, or the digital sea, you're just dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're just gone.
Yep. Yeah. So it gives us an idea of how big the stakes are. It also makes you rethink the episode 2 part where Odd just kind of like jumps into the water even more. But Jeremy's upset because he can't bring his e-girl into the real world. But Aelita states that he just has to reset up the program, which how does that work? What do you mean reset up the program? Just hit enter again? But I guess he made a program that exploded every line of code previously, and now he has to redo it or something.
For some
like
reason,
that.
He also can't like just like read the code and like write it down or like
type. Yeah, it up his again process while
it
of
it's really weird.
His process of materialization doesn't seem like it follows any ethics or anything that we do in our world, and it seems to be
like
a consumable item.
Presumably, he's like writing code inside of like the Lyoko program itself, which like you know probably has its own rules and whatnot. So
yeah,
like,
its own properties
it could just you know it's a plot device. That's all it is.
But
I have a fun fact about this episode.
Yeah, go ahead
before we continue. Because I don't know if you were ever like a part of like the online fan base for this or not. But I actually like, frequented forums a lot of the time for this show. This episode began something that was online that was called Pick on Yumi Week.
Oh.
Where it would just happen. This keeps happening over and over again. Where there will just be an episode that like how we have episodes with the last one where it's just Kiwi's involved and Jim and the headmaster realize Kiwi exists. This one is for some reason Yumi has to take on like all of the issues. Yumi has to be in the digital world for like the longest protecting Aelita, and Yumi like potentially or does just kind of die.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, unfortunately for her, this just kind of just happens.
Yeah, sucks to be you. You're going to have to figure it out type of situation. Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely an important one for the plot. I'd give this probably like a 3.5, maybe a 4. I'm more comfortable with a 3.5. The end of the episode goes off with Jeremy. They're leaving the factory. Jeremy's all like sad and everything, and they're trying to cheer him up with the same candy that caused this in the first place. Which is like, you know,
weird
camaraderie
candy.
Yeah. Like camaraderie and everything like that. But yeah, I think this is a very important episode for the plot. It pushes it forward because this entire time that we've known, literally in every episode, Jeremy's just like, I'm going to skip this class, or I'm going to do this, and go work on Aelita's materialization program, because I need her in my life. And we get, like, the fruits of this, but now it's been delayed. So, what that means to the future, we're not sure, but the thing is, we know that it works, and it's there. So, it's a something to look forward to, I guess you could say. But yeah, I definitely think it's an important episode. Do I think it's strong? Maybe not super strong, but it's definitely important plot wise. How do you feel?
I like this episode quite a fair bit. You know, this, like, it's set up that, like, there's even more, like, there's more things at stake when they're actually in the digital world. It's not actually just, like, you know, a video game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is, like, you know, kind of SAO before SAO. If you die in the game, you do die in real life.
Yes.
Even with being able to,
well, because
like have time travel, which always is a messy thing when you're able to do time travel. The way that they do time travel in this, honestly, is like, in my opinion, like the best way to do time travel as a whole, which is just, it's not so much going way back in time. It's just sort of hitting a reset button. But
yeah, like an increment. I also would like to bring up the Like, they're not, it's not just like you die in the game, you die in real life. Like, the virtual, the pods, like, they bring it up in the last episode, or is it this episode? They bring it up in this episode, like, Odd's just like, if they destroy the pods, like, we can't go into Lyoko to help them. Like, we need to figure this out now. Like, we need to turn the tower off now. Like, forget the supercomputer. No, like, if the supercomputer survives and we can't get in the pods, like, we're, like, that's over. Like, Aelita's, like, as good as gone. Yeah. If we can't assist her. But it's not just like, oh, your body will die. And like, they're actually being teleported in there. Like, we get some scenes in the future and like, maybe there's some now, but like when they go into those pods, like their bodies are literally being virtualized and like the pod opens and it's blank. Like we see that in the future pretty often that like, it's not like their minds are getting sent in. No, it's their entire bodies. They're literally being turned into data going in there. So, like, if something happens there, like, when they get sent back in the real world, obviously, like, they're not going to, like, lose a limb or something like that. And, you know, I'm guessing if someone were to have some type of problem, like, let's say one of the Lyoko warriors, like, I don't know, lost the tip of their finger, right? When they get coded in, like, they're fine. They're their profile. But once again, they are themselves. Like, it's not like, oh, well, Yumi will be fine because, like, her body's here so we can figure it out. Like, no, like, she's gone. Like, if they couldn't bring her back with the materialization program, they would just have to explain that their daughter literally got lost in a computer program. Like, not that her body is here and is unconscious, like an SAO with, like, everybody who got put into the game. Like, it's literally their bodies are gone. So the stakes are definitely set more high now. We get to see some seriousness within the story due to this. Some minor setbacks, of course, because the materialization program, or the dematerialization program, sorry, got used by someone that wasn't Aelita. So there's that. But definitely an important episode. Definitely an important episode. What do you rate it?
I'd give it a 4. I quite like this episode. It sets up very important stuff for later on. So I'm just happy with it.
And then if we have to give an overall, I give an overall score to all of these, I'd give them about a 4, like this batch. We have some good parts of all of them, some less important than others. I definitely wouldn't say skip any of them, but, you know, yeah. Some have weak points.
It's true. Definitely watch episode 4. Episode 4 is fucking awesome.
Yeah, episode 4.
Whoever like was mostly in charge for writing that episode. God.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But
I thought you liked it.
that is our review of these episodes. But remember we're going to be going through the rest of the episodes for season 1. There are 26 of them. That means that we have 20 more to go. So once again, we're going to be pushing these out in batches of 3, maybe more, depending on how some of these episodes go along. But, you know, Vincent, if you don't have anything else, I think we're going to close up.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Once again, like, we appreciate all the support for everything. Shout out to Ultimate Maverick X for our art. You can get, if you guys ever want to contact us, I might actually be leaving Twitter. I'm not sure. Just personally, might go over to Blue Sky. But if you do, if I do, I'll be sure to put it in the next episode, along with any of our new Twitter, handle or any of our new handle information, if Vincent makes the transition as well. But
I'm potentially going to be making the transition to, not to bring up like politics or anything, so I won't, but like
an important thing for any of our like artists and lovely people out there who like to, you know, put up their stuff and like show their things to be able to try to make an income. I don't know if it's still the case, but in one of the most recent updates to Twitter's guidelines, they did say as an agreement for like maintaining your Twitter account, anytime you post an image or like really a thing on Twitter, you have signed an agreement saying it is okay for them to use that for AI.
Yeah, so
it's not safe to post your work on there anymore, unfortunately. Yeah.
So that, along with a couple other factors for me personally, I think I might just switch over. But if you want to get in contact with us, I am at lying_mask.
I'm Vincent Barlow 8.
And the pod is Domestic BF Pod. Thank you guys for listening. Next time we'll be going over episodes 7 through 9, maybe 10, I don't know. But yeah, it's been a pleasure. See you next time.
Stay beautiful, everyone.